the opportunity to be here once again at, and I have to be careful now because most churches start with the letter C, and it took me a year and a half to stop from saying Clearview Baptist Church at Columbiana, and it's going to take me probably all night not to say Columbiana Baptist Church here at Clearview, but what a privilege that it is to be here. I count it an honor. Might I just take a moment and say thank you to each and every one of you members of Clearview Baptist Church. Might I encourage you to take a moment, maybe in the days following, and thank your pastor. I was really hoping, I love good music. Don't you love good music? But when you're going to get up and preach, it's almost I would rather them sing "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round." It saves my tear ducts a little bit, but thank you and bear with us tonight. Certainly many emotions as we are here. What a time of celebration this has been. Who would have thought 35 years ago what a blessing this church would still be to so many in 2022? And I'm here to tell you, friends, when my family entered the doors of this church for the first time in the summer of 2008, I never fathomed the wonderful blessings of God that would be experienced in our lives over the last 14 years. Each and every one of you tonight could stand, could take quite a lengthy amount of time to share the same sentiment, and I just say it this way for all of us. What a great and amazing God we have the privilege to serve. He didn't have to give us the privilege. He didn't have to give us His mercy. He didn't have to give us His grace. But He loves us so much that He pours it out upon us. And what a thrill it is to be able to take the little life that we have and give back to the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. But wait a moment. What will our attitude be tomorrow? Will this have been a true time of reviving? Or will it all have been just a waste of time? Turn with me to Mark chapter number 2. The Gospel according to Mark in chapter number 2. I'm preaching tonight on this subject. Close, but not changed. Close, but not changed. Mark chapter number 2. I want to thank all of the men who stood and have preached this weekend. Thank you for the encouragement, for the challenge. I wasn't even going to come tonight, but Brother Crow got up this morning and said, "Show up." Here we are. Thank you for coming. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Leave off reading there for a moment as I give you some background information as we get to the meat of the message tonight. But keep your Bible handy as we'll look farther into the chapter as we go along. But let's pray. We certainly need the Lord's help this evening. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this church, for the people who make up the Clearview Baptist Church. Lord, you know what a place it is, and it holds in our heart and our love for these dear ones here many. What a thrill it's been to see them after some time of absence. But Lord, it's more important that we meet with you this evening. And I pray that you would calm our hearts and settle our minds, that you would give us open ears and eyes to the truth that you have for us this evening. Lord, use me. I know I'm not worthy to even stand here outside of your grace. And I thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, that you would pour into and out of me this evening to be a help to these dear ones here tonight. Lord, they didn't come to see me. They came to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that that would be exactly what happens this evening. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. To most of us tonight, this is a very familiar event. However, if I could encourage you this evening, put all of the stories, the preaching, everything that you've heard about this story before, just out of your mind for a moment. I want us to think about it as if we're seeing this for the first time. And there are many vital truths that I want to give you this evening. It's interesting when someone asks you to preach, there's always that immediate go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, what would you have me to preach? And as the Lord put it on my heart, and there's 10 points in the message, I'm like, Lord, could you please give me a 3-point sermon? And he said, no, just talk faster. So that's what we'll try to do this evening. But some vital truths, we'll move swiftly this evening. First of all, I want you to notice this, the potential. I want us to notice now, verse number 1. Notice the words. It says, again, he entered. Speaking of Jesus, it says, after some days. Now, think with me for a moment. Jesus had been to this town before, but now, up to this point, he had been absent from the town. He had been there. He was not there. He had done many wonderful things there before. You can read about them in Mark chapter number 1, verses 21 through 28. But that was then. Now he's gone. And as we enter into chapter number 2, it says, again, he entered. But I want you to think about it. In the space and time where Jesus was not there, how many might have been thinking that Jesus would never come back to the town? Oh, he had been in the town, and he had actually done things that they were amazed by, as we'll see here in this chapter as well. But then Jesus left town. He never said if he was coming back or not, that we have in the Word of God. And how many would there be that said, oh, for the day that I remember when Jesus was here in town, but he's not here now. How many would have spent their time pining over the memories of the good old days? Now, let me be the first to tell you tonight that I rejoice and shout and weep right along with you when Pastor plays the videos. I really don't like it when he does. It makes me boo-hoo. And that's all right. And I like to look back at the goodness of God. But friends, we can't live in the past. But after some days now, Jesus showed up again. Imagine the excitement. Imagine the expectation. Imagine the enthusiasm. Number 2, notice the publicity. Verse 1 goes on, it says, it was noise. How quickly the news spread. Hey, Jesus is here. Hey, Jesus has come back into town. Friends, when Jesus shows up, the word spreads quickly. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can slow it down. The announcement is found being carried everywhere, and you know how this works. Excitement is not only communicated, it's contagious. It's contagious. Oh, we walked into the motel. Thank you, Pastor, for that, church, for the wonderful accommodations that we've had, and all of the time of fellowship and all of those things. Let me not be forgetful of those things. But we stepped into the motel yesterday after driving from the border of hell. We came up yesterday from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And you think it's hot here today. Friends, we were enjoying the brisk winter winds as we drove north. We got here, it was hot. We had driven all day and we were tired and walked in. And let me just throw this in. There was a lady that I met 14 years ago. The first one I met when we Miss Cindy Shelton. And it was her voice that I heard call my name yesterday at the hotel. And what a blessing it was. What memories that flooded back into my mind. And we talked for a little bit and howdied for a little bit. And there was a fellow, and he came up to me and he said, he worked there in a motel. And he said, did I hear right that there's a revival or something going on? See, excitement. There was excitement as we talked. And somebody heard that. And I want you to think that's what these people heard. Hey, Jesus has come back into town. And it was noise. When God moves in the midst, and you've been there, friends, and so have I, in one of those sweet and special, oh, friend, you just had to be there services. You can't wait to share the news with everyone that you can. That news spreads like fire through dry hay. Oh, the publicity, but third, consider the power. We're not even out of verse 1 yet. The Bible says he, Jesus, was in the house. The potential and the publicity are a result of the power of God in the place. See, it's not me, and it's not Brother Nepshield, and it's not Brother Hollis, and it's not Brother Quinlan, and it's not Brother Brandon, it's not Brother Sexton. It's when God's in the house. A dark, dry, dead place isn't popular. But you let the light and the power and the life of God pour out in that place, and you watch the wonderful change that takes place. Watch now. Number 4 is the pull. The pull. Some of you are like, wow, 10 points, and he's moving quite quick. Don't worry, we're going to get hung up on one of them here. The pull, we made it to verse 2. The Bible says, straightway many were gathered together. Might I just say, friends, no programs or pragmatic efforts will ever draw the crowds to the church house like the presence of God and the pull of the Holy Spirit of God on the hearts of people. Jesus said in John chapter number 12 and verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, friends, we don't have to try to reinvent the wheel. We just have to noise the fact that Jesus is in the house. Number 5, the preaching. The preaching. Verse 2, he preached the word. Imagine that. It is the proclaiming of thus saith the Lord that is the priority. You say, Brother Jeff, what made the change in your life when you came to Clearview Baptist Church? Friends, I'd love to tell you it was your friendship and your fellowship, and certainly that played a part. But it was the preaching of the Word of God that caused the stirring in my soul, that caused a decision to be made, multiple ones to be made right there in that place. Oh, friends, what a precious place right here on my knees where God would meet with me again and again and again. Why? Because the Word of God was preached. Preacher, you don't understand what's going on in this world today. I do. I do. It's a three-letter word, S-I-N. You know what this world needs? It needs the antidote for S-I-N. And that's the blood of the precious Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What we need is a return to the Word of God. I love Psalm 119. Let's read all of it tonight. We'll stand and read all 170-plus verses. No takers? Okay, we'll move on. Psalm 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Notice the mercy, the salvation, the comfort, the hope, and the rejoicing that comes from the word of God. Number 6, the pity. The pity. In verse number 3, this is where most of us know the story. There are 4 friends. They're four concerned people. And they bring one that's sick, one that needs a touch from Jesus. And they know that God's mercy, salvation, comfort, hope, and rejoicing is good for them, and they know that it's good for others too. So let me ask you tonight, who do you know that needs it? Who do you know that needs God's comfort, God's mercy, God's salvation, God's hope? Wait a minute. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? That's a convicting question that should squeeze your heart and mine. And it brings us to the significance of the message tonight. Number seven is this: the problem. There's always one, isn't there? It seems that every time that something good sets out to happen, there's always a problem somewhere. Verse 4. They could not come nigh unto him for the press. The press was the crowd. In this case, the crowd was an obstacle standing in the way to getting this man to Jesus. Now, hold on here. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Because when you read farther and you find out they had to tear the roof off to get the guy in, you know what that means? That there wasn't a single one there or multiple ones there that said, right this way, right here. No, no, no. They're all just standing there in the crowd. Says they couldn't get close to Jesus because of this crowd. Now, wait a minute. The people of the press were where they should have been. And it would appear that they were doing the right thing, but their action was no help to this helpless one. And I want us to notice four, if you'll give me the liberty tonight, four obstacles that we see. First, we see the selfish person. The selfish person. Imagine with me now, and you can use your mind to think about this. We don't have to get people up here to illustrate it. But imagine there's one who can't walk. And there are four people, one on each corner, and they're carrying this one that can't walk to Jesus. They care enough about him to get him to the one that can help this man. And as they come to the back of the crowd, I would think that the first one on the corner would tap the guy that's in front of him and say, excuse us, sir, would you please let us through? We have one that desperately needs to get to Jesus. The selfish person turns around and says, wait a minute. I have waited for months to get to Jesus, to get my arm healed. And if anybody gets to Jesus, it's going to be me. Do you understand that? Me first. Turns back around. Selfishness abounds in the church today. Me first. My wants, my needs, my comfort, my agenda. Hey, in the right place, seemingly for the right reason, but hindering others from getting what they need from the Lord. I want, but I won't. I want to be encouraged. I won't encourage anyone else. I want help. I won't help. I want God's blessings. I won't allow God to use me as a blessing. A selfish Christian, friends, will be close, but not changed. Notice now, second, the apathetic person. The four men carrying the palsied man step to another. Certainly everybody in this crowd, somebody's got to have some compassion. Excuse us, please. We're trying to get this man to Jesus. The apathetic man, here's what he does. Oh, sure. Go right ahead. Doesn't do anything at all. Does nothing. Doesn't move out of the way. Doesn't help. Just keeps standing there. Again, in the right place, seemingly for the right reason, but hindering others from getting what they need from the Lord, all because they really don't care. Knock yourself out, but don't knock on my door. Go ahead, but don't bother me. do whatever you want, but don't you dare disturb me. Oh, I see the need, but somebody else can do it. Oh, friend, the apathetic person, no commitment, no determination, no dedication, just an, oh, well, whatever attitude. The apathetic Christian will be close, but not changed. Third, the bitter person. They don't get any better, so buckle up now. So the four carrying this palsied man, can you imagine? They're carrying this man around. I don't know how far they traveled to get to where Jesus is, but they walked across town. And now they've got to go from one to one to one that they can't get through. Now they come to this third person, the bitter person. Excuse us, please. We need to get this man to Jesus. The bitter person. I have to illustrate this one. Bitter person standing there. There's a tap. Oh, could you excuse us? We need to get through. Oh, sure. No. Oh, not him. Oh, no, no, no. Anybody else I'd let go past, but not him. You know what he did to me? He doesn't need Jesus' help. He needs a quick, swift kick in the pants. The bitter person. Bring anyone else except that one. Yet again, in the right place, seemingly for the right reason, hindering others, though, from getting what they need from the Lord, all because they're hanging on to a grudge. All because they're refusing to forgive. All because they're harboring a past hurt or ill will. Wait a minute. Excuse me, now does not the Bible say this? Thank you, Miss Kelly, for teaching us this song. But be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Friends, you want to get the bitterness out of your life? It's time for you to remember just what Jesus forgave in your life. You didn't deserve that forgiveness. But he gave it. And you say, well, that one doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Yes, right. That may be true. But God, oh my friend, God is willing to forgive them. And he's forgiven you. You ought to forgive them. Well, they're not going to get, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. God keeps perfect records. And if God chooses to pour mercy out on that one, just think of all the mercy. Friends, I've been in church a lot of years, and I've been in a lot of different churches. Friends, I've been in churches where there'll be one that will sit on one side of the aisle and one that will sit on the other side, and the whole time the singing, "How great thou art," is going on. They're giving each other the "I hope you die in the middle of service." Look, seen it happen. They're like, if you fell over and hit your head on the back of the pew in front of you and broke your neck and died right here, I would finally shout in church. I've seen it. And what I want you to know tonight, friends, that's close to not changing. Going through the motions, but nothing ever happens. Bitterness will keep you from experiencing God's best for you and for others. Bitterness poisons the water in the well. Bitterness pollutes the spirit. Bitterness blinds the eyes. Bitterness deafens the ears. Bitterness corrupts the speech. Bitterness destroys the walk and destroys the work. The bitter Christian may be close. They'll never be changed. Fourth, the critical person. The critical person. Now these four, I imagine they're getting a little frustrated and they're weary, and they come up to this next one. Won't you please excuse us? We need to get get to Jesus, the critical person looks and says, listen, hold up now. Where did you get that thing to carry this guy? You guys aren't even where you should be. You're carrying him all wrong. Have you carried him the whole way, like not doing anything to help, but is willing to tell them everything that they're doing wrong? I've said this before. Let me just throw this in very quick. Okay, I will. Thank you very much. It wasn't long after the Lord led us from here to Columbiana. I'm still bitter about that. It was at just about the 7-year mark, and it exempted me from getting one of them cool key rings last night. 14 years I've got with my heart in this church, and I don't get no key rings. No. I'm just a bitter person, close but not changed. You saw it. We hadn't been gone to Columbiana long, and one of the first things that God showed me is, you thought you were ready. You know what I realized really quick? I wasn't as smart as I thought I was, and I didn't have everything figured out like I thought I did, and God was way more important, watch this, than I might have thought he was. And it taught me a dependence on God that I needed. And then some things started to happen. And you know what I found myself doing? I found myself writing an apology text to this dear man right here and saying, I'm sorry for the time that I sat on the other side of the desk and caused you all the grief that I'm getting now. Reap what you sow. Critical person in the right place, seemingly for the right reason, but hindering others from getting what they need from the Lord. They aren't doing anything, but they sure know how to tell everyone else what they are doing wrong. Fault finders do nothing to help faith finders. The critical Christian may be close, but will not be changed. I want you to see this tonight. We can have a church house packed out with people in the right place. But if we are selfish, apathetic, bitter, and critical, nothing is going to happen. No one will be helped. And we'll be close, but not changed. Now, before you get mad at me tonight, I want you to know this. 35 years of this church's existence does not happen with only those four types of people. Number 8, the persistence. Verse 4 doesn't find these concerned friends giving up. The Bible says they uncovered the roof, they had broken it up, they let down the bed. You know, out of this entire crowd, the Bible tells us that there were only 4 that refused to quit. They weren't discouraged. They weren't stopped. Their attitude of persistence declared, we must find a way to get this one to Jesus. And as I look out tonight, I'm thankful for many persistently faithful ones that are here tonight. Ones who aren't satisfied with just being close. They're not going to quit until the change comes. They didn't shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, we tried, buddy. Maybe next time, sorry, pal. Guess you're not going to get what you need from Jesus tonight. We got as close as we could and quit. No. No. For these 4, this was the time. Jesus was here now, and the power of God was here now, and close was not good enough. They said, we need the change now. They climbed up on the roof and tore a hole in it and dropped this guy down. They didn't wait for the others to move. They responded. They moved past all of the obstacles. They refused to stop. Hey, friends, there were folks and still are folks in this church house, and when we came 14 years ago, that had the mindset of we're not going to quit. God wants to work in someone's life, and we're just going to keep on going. And I'm here tonight to tell you, 14 years later, it makes a difference. Oh, my goodness, friends, you know the life. wasn't good enough. We need the change that only God can give. Persistence. Number nine, the product. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. We've been in this church and been serving. You haven't been here for 7 years. You don't understand all of what this tyrant pastor is trying to do. I understand. He asked me for it. No, I didn't. Runs it by me. You think this will fly? No. Don't ask me what he told me to preach on tonight. No, I'm not trying to start him with. Here and say, well, I've been here for 5 years. That preacher won't let me do nothing. Show up. You're doing good now. The preacher won't let me do nothing. Everything he does it not the way that I would do it. I'm just going to throw in the towel. Fred, you're going to settle for close. And you're going to miss the chance. I want you to see the problem. Verse 5, as we look in there, we see three things. Jesus saw. It's always good when Jesus puts his eyes on the problem. It goes on to say, Jesus said, oh, might I help us tonight, friends. It's good when God speaks. Right there in verse 5, when Jesus saw, watch this, their faith. Not the palsied man's faith. He didn't have the strength or the ability or the wherewithal to get to Jesus on his own. And it took some that had enough compassion and enough care to get that one to Jesus. He saw their faith. And he said, unto the sick of the palsy, that would have happened if they had quit when the obstacles came. Nothing would have changed if they were satisfied to watch from a distance, and we've heard it all weekend long. Tonight, your answer might be right at the doorstep, but I'm asking you tonight, will you be content to be close but not change? Or will you push everything else aside and break apart the obstacles, the selfishness, the apathy, the bitterness, the critical spirit, and humble yourself at Christ's feet? See, friends, he already knows your need. And he's already invited you to draw close. He's willing. He's waiting. The question becomes this. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? See, because there's somebody that still needs God's help. The work isn't done. We've not crossed the finish line. There are still things to do for the cause of Christ. Number 10. Because I know this is how it goes. Oh, we've seen all of this. We see the product. Jesus, he works, he moves, he does. That's a wonderful thing. Why aren't we rejoicing? Why aren't we shouting it out? I'll tell you why. Number 10 is this, the pushback. The pushback. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there. Oh, they weren't helping. They weren't standing. They were sitting there. What were they doing? Well, they were all of these selfish, apathetic, critical, bitter. certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. You know, like you're doing. I don't know who this guy is to tell us revival could break out right here. Who does he think he is? He lives in Ohio now. He hadn't been down here every day for the last minute. And I'm telling you, the world's bad in Ohio. It's bad in Mississippi too. But Jesus is still on the throne. Still in control. But I think we've gotten content to be close. Somebody could be sitting here right now, right in the midst. Just like these critics thinking, yeah, right. God isn't ready to move right now. Okay, verse 8. Well, let's catch verse 7. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, I love all the times that Jesus says, I am. I and the Father are one. Verse 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your heart? Do you realize God knows what you're thinking right this moment? I'm probably glad I don't, but God knows. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up that bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now watch verse 12. And immediately, he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed. Wait a minute. Not some of them, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this side. Preacher, I've heard of revivals from years gone by, but we've never seen anything like that. You know why? Close, but not changed. You won't see it if you won't trust God and you won't allow God to work. Well, they said they didn't believe it, and there were a few who refused to give up, and God worked an amazing miracle. Notice it was a few in this whole crowd. A few. Understand, we can be so selfish, so indifferent, so bitter, so critical, we can stand at the door of revival, but never be revived because we refuse to see it or we refuse to receive it. Friends, tonight, why not instead determine to be people who in faith do whatever it takes to get to Jesus and bring others to him too? Without question, God has worked some amazing wonders right in this place in these past 35 years. I had the privilege to be here for a little over 7 years, right around 7 years. And I'll tell you the work that he's done in my life. And I'm telling you, it's a lasting work. Changes his life. Continues. But as this anniversary event draws to a close, the question, who needs to see Jesus? We all do. Well, who needs to hear Jesus? We all do. Who needs the help of Jesus? Again, all of us. We all do. So what are you going to do about it? Is close good enough? Or do you really desire his change in your life? Are you just close, or will you truly be changed? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to stand and to preach to these dear ones. And I pray that you'll